Welcome to the E-commerce Made Simple podcast. I am Jérôme de Guigné, your host. And today I am very excited because we're having a podcast with one of the brands we've been working with for a very long time. And especially excited because I am with Richard, which has been working from our team, which has been working with the brand for many years. And it's his little baby. So Richard, what if you had to say one word about the brand, what would you say?
As you said, Jerome, thanks for introduction. And as you said, definitely my Kerry Potty, this brand is definitely a baby that I grew from so small to how big is it is right now. So it's the best of all the brands that I've ever worked with, starting with 5 digits to 6 digits and much more to come right now.
Yeah, so we could say it's your Kerry Potty, right? And so my Kerry Potty is a baby brand. So it, like baby, the image of the baby makes sense. And we are lucky to have George, which is like in charge of the marketing side of my Kerry Potty and working directly with Richard. And we are going to be talking about unpacking Q4 2023. And what I found interesting in that podcast is that we will be talking about the history. It's not like Q4. A lot of people are focusing on Q4 and say, okay, I'll start in September and I'll get results. Actually, in this case, we started many years before and the result is sort of building up. And if you had one thing to like focus on, Richard, on about the time is what's most important to build with time?
It's the experience in forecasting, because a brand which is a juvenile brand to be present where it is right now, it's definitely a lot of study, a lot of learning that you do in terms of forecasting the sales, forecasting the production, and making sure that the logistics is all planned to distribute in all the marketplaces that you expand in.
So these learnings and many more will be in the podcast. So I hope you all enjoy the podcast and happy viewing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So welcome everyone to a new episode of Secrets of Brands. I'm very excited today because this brand is one of the brands I speak a lot about when I'm talking about global expansion, when I'm talking about building a brand. And I've been speaking of that brand like in different conferences in Seattle, in the US, in Europe. So now we are going to talk about it more in details with Richard and with George. And that's really great. So before getting into the details of the story, we'd like to know a bit more about our guests. So, George, can you start to say a bit about you?
Hi there, guys. Thank you very much for the intro, Jerome. So I'm a digital marketing manager for My Kerry Potty. Been working here for about 4 or 5 years now, and it's a brand that holds very true to myself, and it's a family business that I've been involved in since I was pretty much very young. I've got a very extensive background in branding, marketing, PPC, and social media management. And the reason the brand means so much to me is it's actually mentored by my mother, Amanda Jenner. And the actual product itself was ideated based on me when I was only 2 years old. Pretty much, I used to be a bit of a nightmare, I think, when I was younger. I wanted to go for number one or number two anywhere on the street. And this is around 1998. So going back, let's say about 20 years now, 25 years. And then my mum had the spark. Oh, I think there's a market for this sort of product. So it doesn't make a mess anywhere. And it's a bit more discreet. So she came up with My Kerry Potty, the potty training product, and it's a potty for everywhere, indoors, outdoors, and pretty much it's just revolutionized the potty training space. Since then, we've spent the last 15 years growing, properly established in around 2005. And what's great about My Kerry Potty is that it's lightweight, leak-proof, and bag-free, and also has very fun characters. So toddlers instantly have that attraction to the product rather than a lot of the products on the market being very boring. We hold a patent for the portability of the product, which has been great, and the leak proof. So that's kind of an intro on the My Kerry Potty, which is our hero product. Since then, which I'll be going into in a lot more detail throughout this podcast, is our other products that we have to support that potty training process. So we've grown from just the My Kerry Potty to trainer seat, step stool, training pants, and we've got many more products coming in the future, which I'm going to introduce to you also later during this.
Awesome. So I think it's the first time I'm hosting someone who's the reason for the product and the reason behind the product, because your mum Amanda sort of thought about that product because of you, or thanks to you, let's say. So that's very exciting to have, like, that you have a special bond, right, to that product.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I almost found it quite embarrassing for a large part of my life until I was about 20, 21 years old. And I went to university and I just saw the company sort of growing in the background. I was like, you know what, I'd love to be involved one day. And I just wanted to support a family business. And honestly, it's been one of the best decisions I've made coming to work for here. It's been awesome. We've been winning awards around retailers all over the UK, Boots, John Lewis, going to go into some supermarkets this year, which I can't tell you about. And now we're an international brand in 30 plus countries. So it's just one of those really where it's all kind of fallen into place. And yeah, I'm really glad to be here talking about the brand as well.
That's amazing. And today we have also Richard, who's part of the e-commerce team, and he's, I think, probably the biggest fan of my Kari Potty on Earth. So Richard, tell us a bit about you.
Thanks, Jerome. So I'm Richard. I'm from India, and I've been working with Amazon since 2009. And I was the first employee for the Amazon India team to start the sales team. So after 2017, I joined Jerome e-commerce, and I've been working since then. And of course, my Kari Potty is one of my favorite brands that I've ever worked with. And of course, seeing all the results and seeing the product, how interesting the product is, and how interesting the team is inside the My Kari Potty company. It's been a really great journey throughout, and I'm excited to be a part of this webinar.
Exactly. So we'll go in the ins and outs of my Kari Potty and that success. So one thing I'm super excited of about talking about that brand is when we prepared, we said, okay, we want to talk about, okay, the what happened in Q4 2023, which is a high season of sales because of Black Friday, Cyber Monday. But actually, success on Amazon usually has a long story behind. And one of the things we want to do today is unpack the past, like, okay, the going 1, 2, 3, 4 years backwards and starting from the very early beginnings, because success on Amazon takes time, dedication, and preparation. So one of the let's go back in time. We started like 2021, then we have another step, 2022, and then we'll go into 2023 a bit more in detail. So if we start from 2021, so bit Richard, you were already working on the brand at that time. So what did you learn from that? Can you share a bit where did it all start from, and what was the situation then?
Right. So we started working with My Kari Potty since 2019, December. The first month was December, and November sales were £5,600. So that's the start. And in the very first month of starting to working with us, we started having 16,000, and then the first 6 months of sales, and then by the end of 6th month, we were 21x. That's £112,000 per month just in the UK alone. And the brand started growing every month, every quarter, and every year. And then seeing the trend of the sales growth in 2020 and 2021, we really had to rethink about the manufacturing planning, because we are getting a lot of demand, but we also need to make sure that we supply all those demands. So we worked SKU-wise forecast for the years to come. So we checked what's the percentage growth from year on year, and we checked for every SKU, and then we started working on a perfect production planning. And then that really helped us in meeting the increased demand. And also, to add another point, is that we phased out some of the slow-moving items and old items, and we tried to introduce new products, new designs, not new products, new designs, new colors. And George can still talk about that in the course. But we really enjoyed when we introduced new designs. We really enjoyed how it grew, right? Some of the designs, I can see that the new designs launched a month ago surpassed the sales of the old designs that have been there in the market for long. So George and team are currently working on new designs for 2024. George, if you want to add something there.
Yeah, for sure. So actually, going way back, so the first product we ever released, the original My Kari Potty, was actually just in a yellow color, very plain color, no characters, nothing, just portability. It had all of the great features of the product, but it didn't have these designs, which are now have now become revolutionary for us, and also revolutionary for us on Amazon, because now our brands just stand out so much, especially on the product listings. If you just want to look at potties, you can see ours straight away. You're instantly drawn to the characters that we now have. So we replaced, I think it was the yellow, we had a blue one and a pink, plain colors, very noughties colors, bright pinks, hot pinks, sort of thing. Now we're looking back on it, we don't like them as much when we see them. But yeah, we introduced characters into the line, and this actually, alongside Amazon work and e-commerce's work, this just revolutionized the brand, having these characters that now toddlers can feel. It almost feels, I don't want to say a toy, but they feel very connected to it in that way. They obviously don't want to play with their potty, but they see their potty and they want to be with it and they want to hold it and they just feel like it's theirs. And I think all of this mixed together, and we almost mushroomed in 2020, 2021, and saw some great growth.
And so it's interesting, like the ground, the basics was a great product, like the customers, which are, let's say, the mom and dads and the little ones, are drawn to the product and adopted the product. So you had a first validation of the concept, right? That's a beginning. And then the second big thing, Richard, you were talking about was, okay, there was growth, but you need to feed the growth. So there's a supply chain issue about, we're getting more orders. When should we order? When should we produce? So there's a lot of things about, okay, getting that mix working. And if the products are partially produced in other parts of the world, then you have the lead time. And as you know, when you're growing a brand on Amazon, like if it's not available, then you're losing like ranking. So it's all about that pacing and that learning. So like 2019, 2020, 2020, 2021, a lot of that is put in place. Now let's go into 2022. What happened in 2022, or what was different in 2022? And that was sort of prepping already for the success of 23. George, do you have like something specifically for
For
2023?
sure, yeah. I mean, I can kind of approach the whole marketing perspective and how we previously marketed the products, and it's been very, very different in 2023. I think we did spend 2019 to 2022 pretty much learning how to market the product efficiently and well, and keeping it simple. Because I feel like there's so many brands out there nowadays, especially, and the marketing is just so complicated. And you basically, instead of actually marketing towards the consumer itself, you're kind of marketing for yourself, and you're putting out all of your product features, and all the marketing is very product based. But actually, what you really want to think of, and it might sound cliche, but it's the consumer's pain points, and then putting that into very simple, easy to use language. And that it sounds so simple, but it's just revolutionized our business. We tend not to use more than six or seven words when we're describing the products. We keep it very, very simple.
Could you give
And
an
now we're asking.
example, George, on that, like of simplification of before and after the.
But very simple, yeah. So before, say now, we would use the term, for example, goodbye nappies. It's just two words, goodbye nappies. Everyone says goodbye to people all day long. Whereas before, we would have tried to go probably say five or six words around that, and it would get lost and complicated. Maybe we'd throw in a feature of the products during that. But goodbye nappies is fine. And then just a call to action, learn more. Click learn more. Then they can see the features. Then they can see all the product imagery, and it's all just there if you want to play it. So that was one thing we did, and I think that worked really well. We also had a big issue of our seasonal SKU. So as I've probably drawn upon before, the portability of the product leads to a lot of consumers thinking that it is a travel product, and we had many people buying them for the holidays, blah blah blah. So we kind of used this niche originally, and we thought, okay, let's go towards the travel market, and we're happy to have busier summers, you know, because we're the only one they can probably take away in the summer. They can't use a lot of these at-home potties that just sit in the lounge. That was another thing. We were like, how are we going to approach the seasonal SKU? How can we now change that? Now knowing that we're busy in the summer, let's try and get our winter sales up, because this product can actually be used everywhere, and it is the only potty they'll ever need. It's for at home, and it's for out and about. But really, it's just translating that into our marketing, and it's taking time to do it. I feel like there's always still room to grow, and we're still trying to grow every day and trying to learn how to market it best. I think if anyone's out there trying to market their product, just look at Apple. Look at the brands that are already doing it. Coca-Cola, another really, really great example. I mean, Steve Jobs for Apple basically changed the world of consumer-centric marketing, using free punchlines all the time, and that's why they're so successful. You walk in any Apple store, and you know exactly what you're buying. It feels bright, it feels airy, and that's kind of what we're trying to do with our messaging, at least. And I can go into all of
The
the.
apple of potties, like if Apple was to build a potty, it would be my kind of potty. Very interesting insight. Like, do you
Yeah.
have, so like you would say 2021, there was a lot of like supply chain things of like validating the concept, and then 2022, it's really building up on the branding even more and like finding the right messaging. Did you have any metrics or any results, which about like sales growth was one, but how did you measure a bit the success of those changes? Did you have a way, especially on the marketing campaigns?
Yeah, throughout the marketing campaigns, I mean, obviously this is off Amazon, so I do a lot of our PPC clients, Google, Meta ads, stuff like that. So we've been A/B testing copy for, let's say, the last year, and we've probably got our conversion rates on those on our web store. It's probably gone from about, it's about 2.17%. Well, I was actually looking at it, funny enough, in about 2020. Now we're up to about 5.46% in conversion, and this is just because we've simplified everything. It's not confusing. You know what it's like nowadays. Everyone's using TikTok. Everyone switches off after 1 or 2 seconds. They just want to be fed the information straight away. And that's pretty much what we've done. We're just trying to retain them on our website. We have sign up features, blah, blah, blah. It all just comes together, really. But yeah, I'd say probably conversion rate's been one of the biggest things that has grown for us, for sure.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And do you feel that there's a like a have you measured or have you seen the brand awareness, like the growth of the brand awareness, or is it really like it's a very niche market? So because your customers basically come and go, right? So you have to win
Oh,
new
it's been,
customers all the time, right?
yeah, it's really tough. And especially because we're only really at the moment, and I'll go into future product categories that we're going to later on. But at the moment, we are really heavily potty training focused. So they come and go very quickly. I mean, our Instagram following, it's one of the most annoying things ever because, say, we'll get 5,000 followers per month, and 2,000 those will unfollow because they're done with the process, and they keep getting hammered with the same stuff. But we're trying to learn, how do we do this while selling the same product? Number one, that's just educational resources. So we're really focusing on the education, and that's actually been a massive part of this as well, is just educating consumers, maybe not even about potty training, just the whole process of bringing up a child is really tough. I mean, I haven't got a child yet, but I could tell you absolutely everything about it already based on the education that we give out as well. And all of this has been bolstered by my mother, who's also an expert in the field. She's done on ITV. If you want to look up, she's called Amanda Jenner, and she gives just great advice for everything. So we've put that into all of our marketing too. Another quick thing around the brand awareness is, even though maybe we weren't marketing the best way we could, I really saw a huge growth in our brand awareness just through Amazon platform. In 2020 to 2022, the demand for the product just soared, and that was thanks to Amazon. And that Amazon income allowed us to expand our marketing team, and now we have more time and resources to think about this sort of stuff. So, yeah, as I said earlier, it's all mushroom from Amazon, and now we're just applying it into different categories and sections of marketing.
And that's a great segue to leap into. I think, Richard, you want to talk about the bestseller strategy, about which product you wanted to, or we started to focus on to build also the brand and the sales on Amazon. So
Yeah.
can you expand on that?
So, yes, Jerome. In 2021, we had, until the end of 2021, we had all the products as standalone ASINs. We really didn't think too much about putting them all in one variation group and sell them in under one roof, right? So we had everything separated. The reason is, we wanted to have the bestseller ranking for individual products increase. Right. So when customers search for travel potties or summer potties or potty training or kids potty, so we wanted to have, my strategy was to have many products in the search page. So when I don't have everything in one variation, obviously Amazon throws many search results in the first search page. So that was the strategy I had. And then after we saw an increase in the ranking, bestseller ranking, it went below 30. I mean, all the products, individual products, went below 30. And that's when we decided to put them all into one variation group. And the moment we did that, in less than a week's time, we saw that our products were tagged as, or given a badge saying the bestseller, number one bestseller. So
So
strategy really worked.
Yeah, just
Just
hold
from
there. So going down here is a good thing, right? It's going down in ranking, so it's going upwards. So you're like
yes.
going from number 30 to number 29. So basically you're coming upwards on the page. So basically what you're saying is that you decided to have like the products not in a variation, so not multiple colors on one page, but each color separately, and that so that they could start to be ranked independently, so that they win and they go upwards in the pack and the page and the ranking. And then once you were there and you were happy, you started to do the variation, right? Is that correct?
Exactly. So that's more of a brand awareness. So when customers look for, I mean, search for a kids' party, this keyword using kids' party, and then they find the first page with 20 or maybe 15 products just from one brand, that really gives a brand the brand awareness, right? So increases the brand awareness. So after we saw an increase, noticeable increase in the ranking from where it was to where it is, I can say it was nearly 130 in the potties category, and then now it's number one. So it was possible only because we waited for almost 2 years to have them in a standalone essence, and then the ranking kept going up and up, and then and finally when it reached 30 or below 30 is when we put them all into one variation group, and in less than a week we saw the result as number one bestseller. And now I really don't bother if even if the customer doesn't really find many products in the search page. If they find one bestseller, obviously you direct the customer to go into that page, and then inside that page we have many variations. So my problem is resolved now.
So yeah, you need to be agile in the way you're organizing your pages, and that has an impact on the searchability and the findability, let's say, of the product. That's super engaging. Is there anything else you like specific strategies you set up to like grow the brand also in positioning in BSR, like bestseller ranking?
Okay, so also with the stock, right? So we were having a bit of instability in stock in 2020 and 2021. As I said, we started working on the production planning, right? So in 2022, we had a we didn't want to send the stock in advance. The reason is we're going to be charged a lot for the storage fee, right? So we had exactly 30 days time before the peak season, and then we scheduled a shipment, but we had a failure that Amazon did not pick up the stock on time, and then that's a learning. So they took nearly 6 weeks to pick up the item. They had some delay in the logistics, and then they kept delaying the pickup, and that's one reason we failed in 2023 in Q4, the start of Q4. Almost 3 weeks we didn't have the stock in place. So the next year, 2023, we with the learning that we had in the previous year, we did an early replenishment, because the loss that you incur in not having a product or being out of stock is more than the loss that you incur in paying extra storage fee, right? So that was a learning in 2022, which we tried to implement in 2023, which really was a success, because that really gave us a result. I can, if I have to say about in numbers, the year-on-year Q4 growth in 2022 to
Percentage,
2023.
yeah.
Yeah, the percentage growth was 84% growth in Q4 year on year. And also global sales, yearly global sales increased by 41%. That's from 2.2 million to 3.1 million in the last year. That's really a great growth that I can talk about.
So obviously, supply chain is a major thing. How do you get like when it's Amazon who's not picking up the goods? Like, what's the strategy? Is like it's trying to push, or is it that it's a bit lost and you just have to next year prepare better? What's your strategies when you know Amazon is playing dumb or playing you know deaf? I can't hear you. What do you do?
So the plan for 2024 is the same that we implemented in 2023, because we are going to send at least the stock at least 60 to 75 days in advance before the start of the Q4, because Q4 is the busiest season for us. But again, November and December gets a little slow. October really gets in really hard, but November, December gets really slow because of winter. That's when George and I discussed to have the a keyword added in all the campaigns saying all season potty, or because people thought it was only a travel potty or a summer potty, but we had to change the mentality of people that it's not only travel potty, it's also a training potty that you can use it indoors. So George made a lovely image that we had to add in the product detail page that said all seasons party. That made people think that it really not need not be used only in the summer. George, do you want to add something on it, please?
Yeah, there's a few things. Obviously, the supply side has been excellent from e-commerce side, and they've done such an amazing job. But it's also how we've integrated that with the front end and what the consumers see at the end of the day, because that obviously is the most important part. So one, we just basically utilize all of Amazon's features, almost fed their algorithm, and just yeah. So we started off with updating the listing descriptions, heavily updated those, so we emphasized home utility rather than the travel side of things. We use capitalization for the main features. So when you've got those bullet points, you're instantly drawn to the capitals, and that would be the three or four words, the easy to read supermarket language that I was talking about earlier. Very quick engagement. They know what product they're getting. They know the features within 4 or 5 seconds of looking at it. Then all they have to do is look to the left, or if you're on your phone, look upwards, and you can see the first image of the product was the main potty, and then the picture of it open in the corner. Through the years, we've A/B tested various first imagery on Amazon, and we find that works best having the front on view of the product. Obviously, every product's different, so this might not work for yours, but then having the product open or the product in use, or you know, any sort of way like that. Aside from the product listing descriptions, we optimize the product imagery. So we use, as I said, the open and closed products. We added the Great British Design logo, which seemed to have a really good effect on our listing, because all of our products are ideated in the UK. And in addition to that, as Richard said, the image for the potty training all seasons. And I think this one was probably the biggest one we had of all. So it's a very simple graphic. It's basically just four emojis with where the product can be used at home, in nursery, in the car, or on an aeroplane. I love the use of emojis because everyone uses them now in their daily life pretty much at the end of text. You just see them everywhere, right? And they're the most simplified iconography that you can find anywhere. So we incorporated that into the image, and that has just been great for us, Richard. I think we've seen really good engagement on that particular image itself.
So very social media like. I think it's also linked with the DNA of the brand because your mom Amanda is very active on social media, on training, very vocal. She goes also on TV in the UK, so she's very active there. So you're kind of linking with your audience in other places and speaking the same way, and I think that's very engaging also, and very young and powerful.
Sure, yeah. So even with the listing descriptions, with the imagery, it's all synchronized into the brand store. And I think, Richard, we spent a lot of time this year trying to optimize our brand store. We've created various different versions. So when they see this great listing and they see all of the products under the one ASIN, they then think, okay, who is this brand? Let's visit the My Harry Potter store. They get to that store and it's just this immaculate looking store, which has taken years to actually get to this point where it looks so nice. But yeah, that was a massive part of it for us, and we A/B tested that a lot, and we thought the best strategy for this Amazon store, and for anyone listening, I think if you can incorporate this into your product, I mean, you'll definitely see some wins at least. But we always start with a very compelling headline at the beginning of every product page. So we have the My Carry Potty, then we have the trainer seat and the step stool, all in different categories. But the first thing is always a compelling headline about the product, for making potty training fun since 2005 with this innovative design, blah blah blah. And then we kind of go into two unique product features with a graphic. So maybe the product open with revolutionary leak-proof seal, which is what we use on ours, in big text, easy to read. Two features with an image either side of the product in use, or if the product just held in a hand, plumber's hand. And then underneath those two images of the features, we have five icons. So we just describe the product in icons, very simple again. Followed by an autoplay trailer. So this has to be less than 15 seconds if you're uploading one, but you literally just scroll and the trailer just starts playing straight away, and it just looks awesome. You don't have to click any buttons, it's just all there. So within the first three scrolls, let's say, they know everything about the product, and then you give them the product underneath. So you're not trying to push it in their face, like buy this now, click on this listing and buy. We're educating them first, and that's what we do with our marketing throughout. We always educate, and even in our emails, the first three or four emails, it's all just education. We're just trying to make them feel comfortable with the brand and knowing how we do things. And I mean, we've been doing it now for like 20 years or so. So it's very trusted and it works. So yeah, the brand store was great fun making. And in addition to this, we now have a summer and a winter brand store. That's another thing I'd recommend doing. Because we have to change, right? In the summer, we're going to base it towards traveling, holidays, bright imagery at the beach. We're lucky enough to be in Bournemouth in England, so very close to the beach. Then in the winter, darker colors indoors. And I think that's just worked really well for us in the future. And a lot of brands do this already. They probably have a different store every month or every 2 or 3 weeks. That is the goal eventually. But as a small business, obviously, we have to take this step by step.
No, and I love the fact that you are like there's a lot of learning incorporated all the time. Like, okay, how can I talk best to my audience? And I think Amazon is great because you get like a live feedback. Whereas when sometimes we work with retailers, you will get a feedback from a buyer and you don't really know. It's difficult here. You really get live so much information that you can apply. So thanks a lot for that. Now let's move into 2023, which was like a bit the core of what we wanted to talk about. So I know, Richard, you talked about like the supply chain was a major thing, and there was
Yep.
like the preparation of Q4, even though Poti is more of a like top of mind, you would say it's a more of a summer thing rather than a
Yeah.
winter thing. But I think because of the traffic and because of the potential, untapped potential, there was lots of things to do. So could you get into a bit what you prepared specifically in 2023, which made the difference?
Okay, so we did have issues with inventory limitations by Amazon, FBA capacity limits, right? So it's quite common in most of the brands when they start working in, and even if it's a year or two, and then they really grow big, unexpectedly growing big in a shorter period of time, and then that really affects the has an effect from the capacity limit. So what we did was we always tried to have the have a strong metrics on Amazon, meaning the inventory performance index score and the FBA in stock rate. So both these we always kept it at the highest. So we were at 400, and then now we are 534, just to say, but be more precise on the IPS score, which is really, really high when compared to all the other brands that I've worked with. So that really helped the brand, helped the account seller account to gradually increase the selling, I mean, the inventory capacity. And in 2023, this almost disappeared. So this issue was never there. So until the end of 2022, we had this issue. And then last year was smooth. We had absolutely no issues with selling the stock, because when we, if at all, we have a product that is not selling quick, and then you have another product which needs to be replenished soon, and there's a dead stock on Amazon, we really can't do anything. Right. So that's when we realized we have to definitely get the metrics high and improve on the metrics. And that really helped us to get the products on time and start delivering the products as per the demand increase. And another thing that I noticed is that in US and also in the UK, because of the transit, the air pressure sometimes locks the potty lock, and the customers were not really able to open it. There were a lot of customer returns, a lot of customer complaints, and it affected our business, because sometimes we've experienced a product or two being blocked by Amazon because it's as negative customer experience. So we went deep into we did a deep dive to check what is the root cause of this, and George and team they found that it's because the air pressure that the products were not able to open. And easy trick that we did was when the products were shipped from China, they left it half open with the plastic paper, the cover or the packaging material inserted inside. So that solved all of it. Didn't have to innovate a lot of things to change this complete problem, address this problem, but we just had to leave it half open, insert the plastic cover, and then ship it out. So that made zero negative customer experience. So this is one thing that I can say that it was an easy hack to solve.
That was a big headache for us. Big headache.
Yep.
But it's great to see that it's all about learning and implementing and like moving all the time, being agile. That's why sometimes smaller companies are having an easier time because they have sometimes less processes or less red tape, so they can change things all the time. And that's why we love to work also specifically with my Karipoti because they're very quick to learn and improve. On the advertising side, is there anything which was done a bit to prepare in 2023 or something you did a bit differently?
It's not something, sorry, Richard, 2 seconds, because I was going to just draw upon the sponsored brand ad enhancement, because I'm not too sure when we actually started using this. I think it might have been this year, but I just kind of wanted you to highlight a little bit more about that, because obviously we've changed beforehand on the sponsored brand. It was a static image of just 3 children with the potty. And now in 2023, Amazon have released so many new features surrounding sponsored brand ads. You can use AI if you want, with generated backgrounds, generated videos, generated content. We're using or transitioning at the moment to a 15-second video that quickly highlights through all of the features of the product. So yeah, I was just wondering when we started using this and how it affected our business as well.
Also, to add here, George, we added the sponsored video brands ad. So that really changed the game because most of our customer, I mean, our competitors had the same this sponsored video ad, and we had an issue with Amazon because we didn't have an adult in the video, and Amazon rejected the video, and that's one learning that we had to have an adult at least show the hand to place the potty in the corner. So that's a very small, easy hack that we did in the video, and then that really changed the game. The sponsored video ads had the highest conversion in our entire ad portfolio. The sponsored video had the highest conversion, I can say.
Can you share sort of what are the specs, or what is it like? You can have a 1 minute video, or is it 2 seconds? What kind of video, and what are the tips of it of what you feel is a good video?
Okay, so to add to this answer, we the shortest the video is, the more the audience you have. If it's too long of a video, too lengthy video, people really don't bother to watch the complete video. They scroll down and then you really lose the. There's a lot of dropout in the advertisements because you spend a lot of money in having those done, right? So 15 seconds to 30 seconds is what I strongly recommend for brands to have. The hidden features that we really can't explain by words is something that you can explain in the video, right? So, George, if you can also add to this, please.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So with the features, we've actually been considering doing CAD videos. So that's basically digitizing all of the products, so they can then be we can pretty much get it on a program and we can move the product as we want and then have the features coming out. But yeah, that's the plan for the future. Sorry, Richard, I'm not too sure what you're asking there.
Yeah, so it's like, do you have like the he was saying the type of features which are sometimes difficult to explain in writing, in video
Oh,
you make sense straight away, right?
yeah, of course. Yeah, that's exactly why we're getting these CAD videos. I mean, we've tried our best at the moment with the videos we have, but as I said, there's so much room for growth always. So what we're doing is getting these products digitized, and we can literally, I can go on my laptop and I can open the potty with my mouse and then have the features coming out. So hopefully we'll see a big growth from that too. And I do really recommend that for any business out there to get CAD videos done of your products. It's obviously a bit of a can be a hefty initial investment, but your possibilities are endless. You can do absolutely whatever you want with the products, and you can add backgrounds, you can put them in different places. So this is another thing that we can do now for next summer. I'm trying to think of a campaign at the moment where we can just show the product in different places in a plane, because otherwise you can spend days doing this, hiring people to do it for you in real life, but you could actually just do it on your laptop. And that's what's amazing about AI.
That's amazing. The
To
app
add,
of bodies again is like
again, yeah,
images.
that's the goal, that's the vision. I guess it will change and we'll have our own vision one day, but for now we're just chasing Apple, try and make it as simple as possible, because you always have to learn from the best. They have teams of thousands of people working in their marketing departments, and they've tried and tested absolutely everything. I know we're talking today that we've tested a lot. They have tested so much more. So there's always a lot to learn from them.
Awesome.
Jerome, just to add another point to the advertising. So in the last 2 years, we always tried to bid our brand name at the highest, and we never let anybody bid it higher than ours. And the reason is that we protect our brand name, we protected all our ASINs, all our product pages. So all the placements in our product page were our advertising campaigns. So we made sure that we always let nobody come into our brand store or our product page and have their placements bid at the highest price. And also, we went and targeted every single competitor of ours, and all of their product pages had our advertising campaigns. So this is how we really captured the market and tried to win all the other brands.
Amazing. So I wanted to touch on one thing also, which was in 2023, just before going to the rebranding side, is what I know, George, you were very active also outside of Amazon. Could you elaborate a bit on what happened outside of Amazon, and what's your feeling of how much it impacted the business on
Oh,
Amazon?
of course. Yeah, we had to implement a lot of various omni-channel strategies, and a very strong omni-channel strategy at that, because obviously we've got the website, we use Google Ads, Meta Ads, everything. But at the end of the day, we always do want to support Amazon because no matter where we advertise the product, people naturally go to Amazon. I'm sure everyone listening in has that experience. They see a product somewhere, maybe on an Instagram ad or on Facebook, even Google, and they say, "Oh, can I get this on Amazon?" Because sometimes there's better deals. Obviously, the logistics of Amazon is just incredible, and the UI is just meticulous for customers. I mean, it's built perfectly for customers to purchase on there. So yeah, we've seen a lot of growth on Instagram. I mean, our following's grown from 13K to 41K just last year, which is crazy. So we've had the account since probably 2017. It had only grown to 13K since then, before this year. And now it's at 41K. Mostly used for this. Micro influencers have been great. UGC content. I mean, we've got this platform called Shopify Collabs. People apply there, and then we send them out the product. They get 10% off. Affiliate loyalty programs has worked so well for us because even if they do have 7 or 8,000 followers, right? A lot of companies would be like, "I don't want to send this," but what it's costing us with our margin, we can send this out, and we can send plenty of them out every week, and it's just spreading the name. It's become an at-home product now, and yeah, everyone seems to know about it through that as well. And people are just shopping on Amazon because of the Instagram growth. We've made lots of short, loopable video content, so we try and obviously we mix it up. So as Richard said, 15, 30 seconds usually is pretty good, but on Instagram, your attention span is even shorter. So we're looking at 0 to 4 seconds really. So what I like to do, and we've tested it recently, and it's been great. Been making these videos that are 4 seconds long, and basically the song loops, so people just they never know when the video is ending, and it's just adding to the plays on the reels, and it's just feeding that algorithm, and it's been great because Instagram love us. They see us getting loads of views, likes, engagements on all of our other posts. It's just helping bolster that as well. In addition to that, I think just getting new customers through brand collaborations has been huge for us. I mean, every week we try and do a giveaway with another brand, industry-leading brand. They obviously sometimes are even competitors to us. There's even some Amazon competitors that we are collaborating with because we know our products are good. We believe in our products, and you know, when they see our products, they're probably going to go onto our website. And we know that they're other parents, or they've got toddlers, or they're grandparents. So that's worked really well for us. Apart from that, we've utilized the Amazon bestseller badge on a lot of our marketing. I mean, throughout our marketing, we've got that now. So I use it probably every 1 to 2 weeks. So I'll put a post out there saying that we're Amazon bestseller because it just holds that authority and dominance. And people are going to see our party being sponsored by that and think, probably we'll get that one over one that hasn't got that bestseller label, you know? That's really helped. Photo shoots. I mean, I could talk for hours about all the different stuff we have to do. I think as a marketer, sometimes it becomes quite overwhelming, especially in a small business, because there's just so many different strategies now that you can put in place. I mean, there's lots of blue oceans out there. I mean, I've got a lot of friends in marketing, and they're actually using Spotify, Pinterest, Quora, and Bing to promote their products and increase that brand awareness as well, in addition to Google and Meta. So there's just so much to do, but it all supports Amazon at the end of the day, and people are just going to shop at Amazon. I can't see anyone getting close to Amazon. People are trying, eBay are trying, it's not happening. So yeah, we're going to continue to do that, but also considering that some of these advertisements can clash, and that was a big discussion we had. I think it was in the summer actually, and we wanted to make sure that we weren't just overspending and wasting money because we do run Google Ads in-house. And we just didn't. We wanted to make sure that we're not bidding for the same keywords, we're not targeting the same people, and that was really essential to ensuring that both cost per clicks on each were good and that they weren't competing with each other. And I think in the future it would be a really interesting webinar to go deeper into that because a lot of people struggle with that and don't really know the differences between Google and Amazon and run the same sort of campaigns.
And compete on the same keywords, and in the end make the platforms rich rather than themselves. That's a very good insight. Do you have an idea, or were you able to measure in a way or another the impact of like advertising or social media outside of Amazon, and the impact on your Amazon sales or conversion or traffic?
I mean, we've seen year-on-year growth, and every day we get the daily sales, so it compares to exactly the same day last year. And I mean, every single day the figures are very nice to look at, and it is higher. That's kind of the only way we can tell right now because I don't have insight into the back end of Amazon. I think you kind of have to work at Amazon sometimes to see who's landing on your brand store page, the conversion rates on there. Yeah, I don't have that information, but we can just see the top line figure every day, and it's probably even from say the 6th of February today, it was probably about 40% up from last year, and that does coincide with our engagement on these social media channels. I think in the last month, in January, we had 230,000 unique profile visits on Instagram, and last year we probably had around 140. So seeing similar growths, I mean, it's not perfect in terms of percentages, but we can see that it is working, and that's good enough for us. As long as we're keeping the margin, it's good, and we're happy, obviously.
And so that's interesting because Amazon is also developing tools which will give us insight, and that will probably be a future discussion we'll have on another webinar. Amazon Marketing Cloud giving us like insights on the customer journey and sharing like different audiences to make to see understand what is bringing generating sales. But that will be something we'll be working on in 2024. Now, because we're getting towards the end of the webinar, maybe you could give us some insights into 2024 and the rebranding. I know there's a lot of things happening. We see it's My Carry Potty by Kitty, for example. Like, do you want to expand a bit on that?
Yeah, I have to say this year is probably going to be our busiest one yet, for sure. It's very exciting. The growth's very quick and good, but at the same time, we need to make sure everything goes smoothly. So what we'll be doing this year is rebranding our brand from My Carry Potty to Kiddy. So eventually we just want to be, it's going to be kiddy.com, obviously our website, and our brand's going to be called Kiddy, because it just didn't feel right having these other products. We have the trainer seat, the training pants, and then in the future, we're going to have swimwear, which I'll go on to in a second. But calling the brand name My Carry Potty just doesn't make sense. I use this a lot. It's basically like McDonald's being called Big Mac when they sell chicken dishes, blah, blah, blah. It's exactly the same for us. We wanted to wait for this. We've waited. We've known this for about 2 or 3 years now, but we've just slowly integrated it into our marketing. We really didn't want to rush. Really bad example, and I know it's a massive company, but you saw Twitter changing to X literally happened overnight. I don't think it's been great for them. I think it probably should have been Twitter by X. I know they have big teams. They obviously spoke through this, but I don't think it's been a very smooth transition. So we've almost learned from that. And I saw that a few months ago and I thought, okay, I think we're doing the right thing. So now at the bottom of all the social posts, we might start slowly introducing it into Amazon, but I know they get slightly funny about using different brand names. So we're going to check all of the specifications for that. But yeah, at the bottom of all of our social posts, it's My Carry Potty, still big, and then By Kitty, smaller. Slowly going to make that Kitty logo a little bit bigger, I think. And then eventually in June this year, we're just going to change to Kitty. So that's obviously a massive one we're really excited about. Our branding's changing across the board. We're really going to incorporate this simple, easy to use supermarket language into everything we do, very customer centric. So that's the rebrand. And the reason we really had to do this rebrand this year is because we're launching a new line of swimwear products. So it's a brand new category for us. We've never done this before. Very exciting. All of the products are going to be seamless with all of our characters throughout. And they all of our products will have innovative features. They always will. There's always going to be one or two things that separates them from others on the market. That is kind of our ethos at My Carry Potty. I'm trying not to call it kiddie because I do it a lot. But also, in addition to this, we're obviously phasing out some of the old products. I won't go into that, but you'll see if you're interested in the brand, you can have a little look at what we're doing over the next year. Obviously, our Instagram has absolutely everything about the rebrand and what we'll be doing. Yeah, it's really exciting. I've never personally worked on a rebrand before, so I've had to have lots of mentors telling us how to do it and what to do, and it is very confusing and a lot of work, and that's why it's taken so long to get to this point.
That's amazing. Do you have any other products you guys have in mind, or a product you would love to develop under the brand name?
It's own, yeah, I mean, obviously the swimwear is our first one, so we've actually got a few products under that swimwear category. So the goal really is to build that up over the next year or so. So we've got swim nappies, which we're thinking about doing. So not just swimwear. At the moment, our swimwear is like this long sleeve swimwear and it's got UV protection 50. It's very bright, safe colors because a lot of the products on the market that you see now for children's swimwear, they incorporate a lot of these dark blue colors, which funny enough is exactly the same color as the sea. We don't know why they do it. It's obviously not very safe. So we're doing this with some bright, fun colors. We're going to introduce some new pastels to our range with Kiddy. So we're going to introduce some more modern Pantones on all of our products. That's another big thing about Kiddy because we've obviously been marketing a lot to the children in recent years with the fun characters, but we also want to start marketing to the parents too, because you know what it's like now on Instagram, TikTok, people want to show their bathrooms off and they want it to look maybe not so childish, you know. We've got a natural product collection range. So all of our products are this beige, off-tone, almost bohemian color. that we're bringing out alongside the Kiddy launch. And this kind of, we just want to have that professional feel and look to our products as well. Dumbing everything down, making everything simplified, as well as having the fun with all the characters on the side. But there, I have a list of probably 15 to 20 products that we want to make. I'm not going to share all of them with you because some of them are quite innovative. We really want that second My Carry Potty product because, you know, that one was just, it's our hero product even today. We've got a few ideas what we're going to do with that. But yeah, you guys will see in the near future, I'm sure.
Amazing. Thank you very much. I was half hoping you would say an iPhone or a phone, like, a kiddie iPhone. So just to link with what we were saying, the Apple Potty. So anyways, thank you very much, George, and thank you very much, Richard. It was really great. I think for me, if I want to wrap up in a few words, what I find amazing is this whole story of like you 2019 to 2023, and like a lot of stories are about, oh, it was amazing, I launched on Amazon, I was successful. And it's not exactly like that. You can start small, and there's a lot of work to build the brand. And Amazon for me is a long-term game. It's like you build a brand there, and then you will build there, and then you will build the other channels to compete also with Amazon. But Amazon's a great place to get started. So I think my company did an amazing job there. We were very proud to be part of it. And I know will be lots of ideas. Kiddy will be very successful too. And we can't wait to see that. So thanks again, George. Thanks, Richard. Thanks everyone for joining, and have a great day.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you, e-commerce. You've been absolutely incredible for our brand as well. And we're so happy to be holding your hand through the next processes as well and the next stages of development.
We look forward to that, George. Thanks a lot.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.
Thank you.